Come, Holy Spirit, our hearts inspire. Enlighten us with your celestial fire. For if you're with us, then nothing else matters. If you're not with us, then nothing else matters. Be with us, we pray. Amen. Please be seated. What do you think of when you think of John the Baptist? It's not a rhetorical question. I'll take answers if somebody wants to volunteer something. Okay, tough crowd. They always told me in my homiletics class that you're setting yourself up for failure if you do that. We picture John the Baptist as a burly guy. He eats honey and locusts. And he hangs out in the woods. Later on, we'll find out. Some of you may have, the thought may have crossed your mind. I hope not. But he ends up with his head on a platter. But he is pictured as a burly man and one who seeks peace. He's a Renaissance man. He is covered in animal skins. And that's his traditional identity. All right, another question. You don't have to answer this one out loud either. But how do you self-identify? How do you believe other people see you? Do they see you as a father or a mother? A scientist? A laborer? A child raiser? Perhaps a doctor or a lawyer? Maybe you're a jack of all trades. I carry several identities, not in the sense of government-issued ID, but rather how certain groups that I interact with know me. At the hospital, I was known first as a nurse and secondly as a director. In my world of hobbies, I'm known as a fan of John Moses Browning's design of the 1911 pistol. To the Church Universal, I'm known as a deacon. To this parish, we won't go there. To my parents, I'm known as son and troublemaker. My brother retains the title as favorite. To my children, I'm known as father, provider, etc. To my granddaughter, I'm known simply as cowboy. And to my wife, I'm known as husband and buffoon. All of these identities combine and come together and allow me to present myself to the world. John the Baptist has many identities, as we talked about. Burly, Renaissance. But he has one that trumps all others. And it's what we heard today. John's primary historical identity is that he is the one who is to show us the Messiah and what discipleship looks like. His whole purpose is to identify Jesus, probably one of the most daunting tasks ever assigned mankind. So today, let's see how well John did. Let's look at this person that we call Jesus. Who is he? That very question was posed to me in my discernment process, and when I heard it, I felt as if I'd been punched in the gut. I stammered for an answer. The creed tells us that he is Lord, the only Son of God, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, of one being with the Father. What does that mean? John Jenkins would say that gives us a picture of the cosmic Jesus. I think our day-to-day interactions with Jesus, however, are better described by envisioning the human Jesus. After all, that is the place where we meet him. Just like the disciples, Jesus comes to us and we to him based on our own perspectives, identities, and needs. To some, he was rabbi, teacher. To some, he was Emmanuel, God with us. To others, he was Son of God, and yet to others, he was Son of Man. The name is not important. It is our interaction and need that defines the persona of the Jesus that we know. The Reverend Jenkins taught my formation class in theology. I came prepared to be enthralled in systematics or some other great model of the study of theology. But what I ended up with, thankfully, was a lesson in relative theology, the study of how the rabbi, Son of God, Emmanuel, is present in our human condition in the here and now. I came to realize that Jesus comes to us all that have sinned, and he comes as those identities that I've named and so much more. His presence is continual, but our vision of him is determined by the needs we have and the grace that we are willing to accept. We must be careful of attempts to put him in a box, to define him and to limit him to this or that, for he is what we need him to be. Our challenge is to recognize him when we see him.